It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HBR1, part of All Things Considered, and on Fridays, then we archive it online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we have a returning guest, and we are learning about the 2019 Footsteps to Transition Fair, which is coming up Saturday, November 2nd at Kapolei Middle School. This is an event that's hosted by the Department of Education, and it is intended for middle and high school students with special needs and their family, loved ones, caregivers, to assist in what ultimately are critical details, making a life transition and exploring a range of opportunities for adult life, and in many cases, an adult life that is going to require an enormous amount of support and supervision and help from other people. We're going to learn more today with a SPIN program specialist, and that SPIN is in the Special Parent Information Network. It's Amanda Ka'ahanui, who is our returning guest, and SPIN is a parent-to-parent organization in Hawaii. They provide a lot of information and support and referrals to parents of kids and young adults with disabilities and the pros who serve them. And she can speak expertly about this event and why it's important for people who have someone in their life who is facing intellectual disability, developmental disability, some other kind of impairment or disability that you know has caused them to have a difficult journey so far in life. And these transitions can really help the next stage of their life to be a lot better as if they're handled properly. And so welcome back, Amanda. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Dave. I'm happy to be here.
So before we hear about this particular event, because she's from an organization that provides a lot of good, and so she can talk about this event, tell people who SPIN is and the kind of services you offer. Because similarly, if people care about this transition fair and have somebody that's in their life that would need this kind of support, they could probably get support from SPIN.
Absolutely. So parents call us, professionals call us. It could be about an IEP meeting. It could be about looking for services in the community and what that looks like, or just having questions about being a parent of a child with a disability. So we're there. I'm there, and my colleague Susan Rocco is there to talk story with families and help them along on their journey.
And SPIN is, how does SPIN exist? Like, what's the funding for SPIN?
So funding for SPIN comes from the Department of Education, and we are housed in the Department of Health. So it's a very unique partnership that we have. So we have an annual contract that comes from the DOE, and we sit in the Disability and Communication Access Board and provide that family-to-family needed support.
And so is SPIN basically, because in some cases, as you know, a parent of a child with special needs will continue to be providing a lot of support and parenting sort of role long after maybe a kid that does not have special needs. So is there a cutoff in terms of who SPIN targets for support, or basically it's through the full age of a person's life, meaning so a child is 55 and they have intellectual disabilities and bless them, their parents are still alive to help them. Would that parent still be turning to SPIN for support?
They could be, to look at what kind of services that they could find in the community. So we never turn anybody away. If someone has an adult with a disability that they're caring for and need to find something in the community to help them get a job, live independently, find volunteer, we're going to help connect them regardless. But our main focus is birth to 22.
Okay.
So kids that are coming up through early intervention and then kids that are entering in and going through our public school system. But anybody is welcome to call us if they're looking for resources in the community.
Okay. And you do, and so most people fall into that 0 to 22, but sounds like you still have some parents who are dealing with older children that reach out to you guys for help.
Absolutely.
So this concept of transition is, and again, for folks who don't have a child with special needs, the important nature of this may not be so apparent, but that for the many, many parents and loved ones who have a child who is facing the challenges of an intellectual disability or other special needs, it's pretty important, this transition. And without it, things may not go so good in someone's life. So to dial in on why, because then also sometimes even it can be, I guess, so overwhelming if you have a child that's facing some of this, that those parents need to be reminded too, like, hey, this is a really important part of the journey with your kid. Tell them why.
Well, when a child does not have a disability, we plan for them to go to college or get a job or go to trade school. We automatically think they're going to grow up, they're going to find someone that they love and have a family and move out and have a life. With a person with a disability, that can be a little more challenging. So families, they're taking care of their child with a disability, might say, can my child get a job? Mm. Can they live independently? Will they ever find somebody to love and start their own family? What does that look like for them? Because while they're in school, there's a lot of supports that are they may be getting. After school is PAL, adult services look different. Mm-hmm. And so families need to know what that looks like and how they can support that person growing into an adult and being a contributing member of society and having a really great quality of life.
You hit the nail on the head with that. I hadn't even thought about it. I guess that's why you do what you do. So a big part of it is like just, I guess, doing the comparison, because you have a kid, they don't have any kind of disability, you're hoping they're going to get into a school or go get a great job, and the other part that you said is they're going to find somebody that loves them, and they're going to create a little family. And I at least know from my my mom, when she was on her own, it's like, and she wanted that so bad to have somebody in her life, quadriplegic with MS. And I was like, you can't look at your mom, the odds that you're ever going to find somebody in your life, it's not going to happen. I mean, that's a critical part of what separates somebody with special needs, is that being able to ever maybe develop a family like that. And
lasting friendships.
Right. Same thing.
Meaningful friendships that become part of your family. And then you want to find somebody. And so if you're just stuck at home all day, or you're in maybe a day program all day and not meeting other people, how are you ever going to find somebody? So trying to think about outside the box sometimes, so that, like my student, he's 15. How is he going to meet somebody? Well, he's got to get to the school dance. He's got to go out maybe and get a job. He's got to get a volunteer gig. He's got to get out into the community, be a part of that community, so the community is a part of him as well.
And they can find like people too, to some degree, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it makes it harder, at least look with the analogy with my mom. I mean, it would be like, well, maybe I don't know who would, and so I get that about the, it makes me ask another thing. Is it also, when it comes to this transition, are you guys really focused, because I could have this all wrong, and forgive me if I do, but because I realize any kind of serious disability is going to cause some of these same sort of challenges. So, using that example of a woman in a wheel, a girl who's quadriplegic versus a girl who has an intellectual disability. Is this transition fair that we're about to talk about appropriate for both of their families, or is this more geared at the intellectual disabilities rather than somebody facing a really heavy physical disability?
It's for everybody to think about. And it's not only for the high school and middle school, it's really also for grade school parents to start thinking about, because we need to get into the mindset that our kids can still go to college, have a career, have a family, live independently if that's appropriate, or live in a group home with supports. Mm. Whatever that looks like, we need to start at an early age and have that in our brains as parents, that this is going to happen, that our kids don't have to be stuck somewhere, they don't have to be put aside,
right.
They don't have to be quiet or left in the dark. They do need to be part of our society. They need community inclusion to be a part of that, and for our society to see the value in everyone. Everybody has value.
And there are modifications and adaptions that can help to make that possible.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people. So that's an important thing. So this is about any kind of person with a special need, and it's not really it's not restricted to people who have an intellectual or developmental disability. It's just as much for kids with a physical disability.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's important. And forgive me for not noticing until now. Now I realize the value of that for everybody. So Saturday, November 2nd, if you have a loved one who has an upcoming transition in their life coming, who's a young person, Kapolei Middle School in the Honolulu area, this event is going to be happening. Now, is this for folks in the Honolulu area only, or do people from other islands also attend this, or do they have their own sort of thing in most island communities?
We hope that there are a few neighbor islands that have their own transition fairs, and some of them are starting up or working on something, making it bigger. This transition fair is for Oahu, for anyone on Oahu. So it does transfer from district to district year after year. This year right. we're in Leeward. Next year we'll be in Honolulu. But we invite all families to come and attend the event.
Okay. So the answer is really this is for the people on this island. And so it's not something where people from Maui or another island would be flying into attend this.
But they may want to. So if they didn't have something on their island and they say, this is really important and I need to learn more about this, if they want to fly in, we are happy to have them.
And describe it. So, and you've done this well before. So the event, and what's the hours of this thing?
It's 8:30 to noon.
8:30 to noon. So someone shows up there and it's no cost to come?
Absolutely no cost.
And you bring your child with you?
If you'd like. I think it's really important to bring your child and start including them and having them also think about what do they want to do.
Right.
We sometimes forget to ask our kids, what do you want to do?
Right.
You know, we automatically assume that they don't know what that is or that they don't have hopes and dreams, but everybody has hopes and dreams. So start talking to your kids. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? How does your life look to you in the future? And it may look small or sparse, and we need to really develop and grow those ideas. So if you can, bring your child with you. Let them see the services that are out there. Let them experiment with different ideas and things and start building that capacity for growth.
And so they get there, and what is so it's in the it's at the Kapolei Middle School, and what is it like in a large space? You've got describe it, paint a picture so that folks can say, all right, I'm interested in bringing my child. What exactly is there for them?
We're going to have it in the cafeteria, so it's a nice open space. We have resource tables, so we've invited community organizations from around Oahu that are working with people with disabilities in the adult sector, and so they can go around and talk story, and then we will also have a panel of students and a speaker. So Leolinda Parlin from Hilo Pa'a is going to talk about transition and all of those things that need to get done. You know, you need to get a state ID, you need to start transitioning from pediatric to adult doctors, and all of these little tiny things that me as a parent, like, oh yeah, right, I need to do that. And then we get to hear from students who are either going through their own transition in high school, or they've transitioned already. Maybe they're going to school, or maybe they have a job, or maybe they have a program they attend, so that families can hear firsthand what it's like for them to go through transition, and then they can go and talk story with the vendors, or with the organizations.
And the transition itself, is it from the different, from like grade school to middle to high school to college, or is the transition really when you're 18 and you're out of the school system, essentially?
So when we talk about transition, it's usually high school to adult life or after high school. We really need to start talking about transition on the IEP in middle school. 14, 15 is still not too early to be talking about it. 16 is when you really start to dig down in what classes you're going to be taking. You know, where do you want to go after school? What does your life look like? And be planning for that in high school. So the IEP has a transition page. So often we're talking about high school to after, but there are transitions from middle school into high school. What does that look like? There's the transition from elementary into middle, preschool into, you know, kindergarten.
But the really big one is getting out of the so-called the pre-college versions of school.
Right. Out of high school and into adult life.
Into adult life.
For students with disabilities, that could, if they're getting a diploma, excuse me.
Take your time.
For students with disabilities who are getting a diploma, their educational career at school ends when they get that diploma. So it might be 18, might be 19. They have up until their 22nd birthday to work towards that diploma. If the student is working on a certificate saying that, yes, I am going to school, I'm learning lots of really cool life skills, maybe not able to get a high school diploma. The math is often, you know, hard to get through.
Is that a GED we're talking about?
No, talking about an actual high school diploma that you get from the Department of Education.
But when you say a certificate.
A certificate is not a diploma.
And it's not a GED.
It's not a GED, okay. But it is saying that, yeah, you went to school and you learned life skills and you attended every day and you came out with some skills of your own.
And the school gives that out instead of at a different level. That would be what they give to somebody who did not get a diploma. right. and who didn't. And is a GED something they do at school, or that's something that people who are out of school, then they go back and try to get?
Right. You can go back to the adult schools and get that GED as okay. well. And you have, for the Department of Education, you have up until your 22nd birthday to get all of that under the umbrella of the DOE. So even if you're not getting a diploma, you're staying in school. Excuse me. So even if you're not getting a diploma, you can stay in school until you're 22, and then we're transitioning into adult life.
And that's the high school?
High school.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's heavy. So you'll have lots and lots of organizations that service people with disabilities and offer, and a lot of places that offer programs, I'm assuming, of different kinds.
Right, programs, job opportunities, volunteer opportunities, social activities, recreational activities, Special Olympics usually comes and shows up. So it's just a lot of great ways for people to think outside the box, outside of just that one place that they're going to go, because that's where everybody went, 20 years ago. We really need to be expanding our opportunities for people with disabilities so that they can become part of the community.
Right. No, I understand. And it just wasn't done this way a long time ago. And there are more adaptations, not just with technology, but with just more thoughtfulness about including people and the potential that people have, because there are different kinds of jobs that need to get done that somebody could do. With varying disabilities, there is the right fit for, as you say, for everybody can find a way to be useful. It's just a matter of the patience in finding it. So those are the kinds of things that will be there to open up the eyes of the parents and the child. And when it comes to people, like ways people can support this thing, if there are employers that realize, I'd like to try to find a way to hire somebody with a disability or provide some kind of give back to people with disabilities on our workforce, meaning, I'd like to come to this event and make my company available so people can talk to us, and maybe there's a way we can use this one position or these positions. There are people who could take this job who have disabilities, and we want to try to recruit them for the sake of inclusion, because it is the right thing. And in our workforce, we have the ability with a number of positions where even somebody with limited, we have the capability with a number of positions that even somebody who had intellectual disabilities or even somebody in a wheelchair, they could do this or this job. So those companies, do you want, for companies who are new to this, but maybe hear this segment and are inspired and say, I want to do this with our company. I'd feel so much better about what we were doing if I knew that I was getting somebody out of their house or out of some program because they could work for us and they could, or volunteer, or they could do this or that. You want those companies to, when I give this contact info, should they reach out and say, hey, I heard this thing on the radio. We want to be there at the transition fair.
Absolutely. We would love to have them.
Is that something that, is that one of the goals that you, for this segment, is that something that you're looking for? You would like to hear from those companies, or what, besides, so who, you're talking to the companies, you're talking to the parents, the floor is yours. Who do you want to come, and what do you want them to think about?
Well, first and foremost, we want families to come because we want them to start thinking about that transition process. It's never too early to start thinking about it. We also want to invite organizations that are supporting individuals with disabilities to come, and definitely people who have an opportunity to provide a job with competitive wages for people with disabilities so that they can feel like they're contributors and that they're part of that community. So all of them are welcome. They can visit us on our website that you're going to give. They can come down in person and just walk around and look. Maybe it's the first time that, hearing this show today might be the first time that a business owner says, I never thought about that.
Right.
I never thought that we could do that. Come on down to the fair. It's free and you can check it out. You can visit the other vendors. You
can see for yourself and try to figure out how you could pull off.
Yeah.
It's like what you're saying is they just get this light bulb and then you got to develop that. So you may need to visit and talk to somebody like you to say, hey, I'm interested. I'm curious. We never, like you put it great. I never thought, wow, maybe we could be a part of this. We could help somebody.
Right.
We could diversify our workforce because we do have some positions, and it'd be great to know we were helping people in the community who really needed a break.
Everybody has something to contribute.
Right. And it's just a matter of letting them know about it. And so, and then any other ways that people can support the event Is there anything else that you, before I give the contact info, besides people thinking, hey, we could be a part of this, or you're inspiring parents to and kind of nudging them to make sure you focus on this really important part of your kid's life, because this is an important transition, and there could be untold number of support mechanisms just waiting at this thing. You kind of got to go and take a look and see, hey, I never thought this could be good for, you know, for my child. Right. What else? Is there any other, are there supplies that you guys need? Can people make donations if people aren't on this island? Because as you know, we're statewide, so I'm going to go out on a limb and think there's a whole bunch of people that make up part of who's listening now that are not in the Honolulu area, meaning not on this island. So are there ways any of those folks could support this? And it could maybe even be to reach out to their own community to see if something like this is happening. But you know better than me. What are other ways that people who are maybe a little more remote but are touched could be supportive?
Absolutely. So if you're on Oahu and you'd like to support the Footsteps of Transition Fair, we are looking for donations for door prizes for families to come. There's no fee for anybody, but we do like to provide some incentive. So if you own a business and you would like to donate an activity, or are out there driving in your car and say, hey, I would like to provide a cool activity or adventure for students and their families, we are looking for donations for that. If you are living on a neighbor island and you're saying, wow, why aren't we doing this here? What could we do to get something going on? Talk to your school's teacher. Talk to your child's teacher. Ask about a transition teacher at the school and say, how can we get something like this together? It doesn't have to be big. We start small and we grow. It might just be getting some families together and having a night to talk about transition. So reach out to your local school districts, reach out to other families, reach out to organizations and say, what do we do to get it going?
And they could still, on those other islands, if they're really new to this, if they wanted to reach out to you guys just to hear, to learn, and maybe to get a guide map, like who should I call in my community? You guys presumably could help guide them a little bit.
Absolutely. We would be happy to do that.
All right. Here's the contact info. They have a dedicated website to learn more, footsteps2transition.weebly.com. You can look for the Footsteps to Transition Fair information for the 2019 version at their website, spinhawaii.org. You can give Amanda or anyone there a call to, if you have questions, you want to learn more, and understandably, you could have a lot of questions, 808-586-8126. You can send them an email to spin@doh.hawaii.gov. And you can get the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our previous, all of their contact information and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. The event is coming up Saturday, November 2nd at the Kapolei Middle School Cafeteria, the 2019 Footsteps to Transition Fair, and it's 8:30 to noon that day, and a lot of different organizations on hand, and it may just include your organization, as it turns out. Amanda Ka'ahanui, SPIN Program Specialist, has joined us today from SPIN, which is the Special Parent Information Network that helps out parents who have children with special needs. And if you have questions, they're there to try to help navigate you through those questions and help find solutions for your loved one. Anything I left out?
You did a great job. I really appreciate the time today.
Appreciate having you here, and thanks for answering my questions and helping me to understand it better. I really do hope that on behalf of anyone who's facing a really heavy disability, especially anybody who's saddled with some major wheelchair that they're stuck in, that this event can offer some options for their life. And I appreciate you guys being out there to try to provide them.
Mahalo.